Today on The King is Coming.
Don't you want to make your life count? Don't you want your life to count for the greatest purpose in the whole world, which is the name of Jesus Christ? God has already planned that everything we need for life and for godliness can be found right here in the Bible. Well, we've been talking about biblical discernment on The King is Coming. And this book that I've written called Uncovering the Secrets of Bible Prophecy takes you to the next level in biblical discernment. Not only in this book will you learn how to develop discernment, but also how to interpret prophecy, how to interpret Scripture, and how to recognize some of the fake news and the false prophets that are out there today. This book is a great little primer on getting into prophecy and understanding how to develop the biblical discernment that we all need and want in our lives. And it's available through The King is Coming.
For your gift of $20 or more to World Prophetic Ministry today, you will receive your copy of Uncovering the Secrets of Bible Prophecy by Jeff Kinley. Get your copy by visiting thekingiscoming.com or call 1-800-622-2767. Do it today.
The Moody Handbook of Messianic Prophecy is the ultimate all-in-one resource on what the Old Testament says about Jesus. Get answers and clarity in this authoritative and reliable guide to Messianic prophecy from some of the world's foremost evangelical Old Testament scholars. Watch the scriptures come into full color as you see new meaning in familiar passages and further appreciate God's masterful handiwork in preparing the way for Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah. For your gift of $75 or more to the ministry today, you will also receive a copy of our 8-part DVD series, The Messianic Prophecies. Dr. Heinsohn will unlock some of the amazing prophecies of Scripture like the Son of Abraham, the House of David, the Suffering Savior, Is Jesus the Promised Messiah, and more. To order today, call us toll-free at 1-800-622-2767 or visit thekingiscoming.com now.
Hello and welcome to The King is Coming. We've been talking about biblical discernment, something that is a critical need today in the body of Christ and among Christians. You know, we live in this world, we walk in this world, Jesus wants us in this world, but as we live and do our thing every day, we need to walk with a sense of wisdom, discernment, a sense of vision that enables us to sort of cut through the fog, to see what's out there, and to live our lives accordingly. Now, there's a great verse in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I love this in verse 3 here. He says, first of all, in verse 2, he says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you," he says, "in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Then watch what he says next. He says, "Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness." Now, wait a minute. God says His power has given us everything we need for our Christian lives, the Christian experience, for our basic living, and to be godly. But how does that happen? Well, we read on, Peter tells us. He says, He's granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. So we find that the key to having this sense of experience with God, godliness, growing in maturity, having all the tools and equipment that we need for our Christian lives, they come through the knowledge of Him. So where is that knowledge found? Well, it's not found down at the local library. It's not found on YouTube. It's not found in social media. It's found only in the Word of God. That's our ultimate source, our ultimate go-to. So as that relates to biblical discernment, we want to make sure that we integrate the Word of God with our minds and our experience so that we can live the kind of lives that are enjoyable, that are full of peace and patience and kindness and goodness, all those things that the fruit of the Spirit talks about, but also a life that is pleasing to God. Now, let's go ahead and just define what biblical discernment is. I love what John MacArthur says here. He says, discernment is the process of making careful distinctions in our thinking about truth. In other words, it's the ability to think with discernment that is synonymous with an ability to think biblically. So in other words, to think with discernment is to simply think biblically. So how do we think biblically? How do we make sure that we are discerning, not just our lives, but other people's lives, to be able to know, hey, what's going on with the world out there and with the times in which we're living? Well, discerning those times out there means that we think biblically about all things, about life, about God, about self, about reality, and of course about the times in which we live. So what discernment does for us is that it transforms our perspective and our mind so that we have the knowledge that we need to be able to think and believe and to act according to what God says. So isn't that our goal? I mean, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, I mean, your ultimate goal is to be like Jesus, right? You want to be conformed to the image of God's beloved Son. Well, in order to do that, we have to transform our minds. That transforms our belief system that then transforms our behavior. So beliefs lead to behavior. Now, when we talk about biblical discernment, we want to ask this question: why is it so important today in our lives as believers? Now, you say, Jeff, it's always been important. That's true. But why today especially? Let me give you a couple reasons here. Number one, discernment is important because God wants you and I to know and not to guess about life. You know, there's sort of a spirit today in the world that says you can't really know anything. You know, if you claim that you know something for sure, that you're confident, then people sometimes will call you arrogant. But yet the Bible is very clear about what is true in life, and God wants us to be confident about what He says is true in His Word. And so as we go along in our lives, we want to walk with a sense of confidence. And when that doesn't happen, all these other things begin to creep in. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13, the Thessalonian believers were very confused about what was going on in the world, what was going on in the church, what their destiny was going to be like. They didn't know. And so Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. He says, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I do not want you to be ignorant. Now you say, why is that so important? Well, ignorance breeds fear. Knowledge breeds confidence. Now, we're not talking about knowledge just for the sake of knowledge. You know, I went to seminary for 4 years with a lot of guys that there were what I call eggheads. You know, they just kept on storing knowledge in their heads, you know, but they never really wanted to live it out. They just wanted to learn stuff, you know. So you can learn just knowledge upon knowledge, facts upon facts, and your life not be changed. But that's not the kind of knowledge we're talking about. We're talking about the kind of knowledge about God that leads to knowledge with God or experience with God. So what we learn in our minds, we want to always make sure that we translate into our lives. So God wants us to know and not to guess or to be ignorant. Secondly, because discernment protects us from false teaching. It protects us from being, what Paul said in Ephesians 4, being tossed back and forth by every wind of doctrine. By the way, did you know that's the job of a true pastor or pastor teacher? The Bible says in Ephesians 4, his job is to equip the saints with the Word of God. That's his primary responsibility over everything else a pastor does. He's there to equip the saints. Now, why is that important? Well, he goes on to say in Ephesians 4, so that you will grow into a mature believer. And when you grow into maturity, he says, you're not going to be like that rowboat on the ocean, just being tossed back. Here comes a wave of belief system, you're tossed over here. Here comes a philosophy over here, and you're tossed over here. He says, no, you're anchored to the truth. And when we're anchored to the truth, we have a sense of stability in our lives. And we're not swaying back and forth. And he says, you grow into maturity, and you're not no longer children, he says. Now, why is that important? Well, those of us who have had children, we know this, if you've ever observed children, you know that a child will put just about anything into his or her mouth, especially at an early age. They don't know what's you know, good and what's bad. Put a frog or a lizard in their mouth, you know, or they put something from the table. They don't know because they don't have that discernment. A child will stick his finger into a wall socket or to touch a hot iron because initially he doesn't know that that's not a good thing for him to do. But as we mature, as people, we learn, hey, you don't touch the hot iron. You know, you don't put dirt in your mouth and that kind of thing, right? And that's because we're maturing. Well, the same is true with our spiritual lives. As you and I mature in Christ, some things are just obvious out there in the world. We don't even have to think about them. They're so obvious. Oh, you don't do that because it's just foolish to do, right? But other things require more delineating discernment, just a more specificity, if you will, in understanding, should I do this or that? In other words, it's not just knowing the difference between right and wrong. It's knowing the difference between good, better, and best. And that is what wisdom and discernment ultimately does for us. So too many believers today essentially are taking candy from strangers. They're allowing people to speak into their lives. They're reading books. They're watching videos. They're out there in the world. And they allow themselves to really be formed or molded by the world. And in fact, that's exactly what Paul says in chapter 12 of Romans. He says, do not be conformed to the world. And that word conform means to be pressed into a mold, like you would press clay or Play-Doh, you know, speaking of children, like into a mold. And when you remove the clay or the Play-Doh, guess what? It looks like the mold. God says, don't let yourself, your spirit, your person be pressed into the mold that this world has formed, because we know from 2 Corinthians 4:4 that Satan is the god of this world, right? And he's the prince of the power of the air, Ephesians chapter 2 says. So we don't want ourselves to be pressed into the mold of the world, but rather for God to transform us from the inside out. And that's what he's talking about here with discernment. Now, we said earlier in 2 Peter chapter 1 that the Bible contains everything that you and I need for life and for godliness. And if there's one thing we want this program, The King Is Coming, to do for you, is to point you always to the Scripture, to get you in the Bible, because we know that you're going to have a one-on-one encounter with God and Lord Jesus Christ when that happens. So that's why we talk so much about the Bible here on The King Is Coming. But the Bible is also, it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, that it's also our milk, right? So as a newborn babe, it says, long for the sincere or the pure milk of the Word. And again, if you've ever had children, you know the one thing they will let you know is that they need to be fed and they want milk. And as little babies, well, they don't have teeth, you know, they can't really process and digest, you know, solid food. They need milk. And so the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:1 that it's our milk. But it also tells us in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14, and this is a great passage on discernment, that the Bible is also our meat. And so here's what happens. Just like a child grows from having that milk diet to that Gerber, that puree kind of food diet, then essentially you chop up little bitty chunks of meat and you feed it to them and they're able to chew because they're getting some teeth in there. So we are spiritually, as we grow and mature, we can handle things that are a little deeper than maybe the average believer can handle on, say, a Sunday morning. And, you know, I was a youth pastor for many, many years. And one of the things that I was always committed to for those young people was that I believed that they were intellectually and spiritually able to handle anything that an adult could as long as they kept growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. So as a youth pastor, we taught through books of the Bible. We taught through doctrines and, you know, principles in Scripture. We taught through the end times. We went back to Genesis. We taught it all because we knew that they could handle it, but only if they were growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Bible is our meat. Ephesians 5 verse 26 tells us that the Scripture is our water. You know, it's a cup of cold water on a hot day when you're thirsty and you just need to have that thirst quenched. You know, sometimes you'll read a Bible verse or get into a passage of Scripture and it's just like God is just soothing your soul with this incredible Word of God. It quenches the thirst that our soul has for what life offers us sometimes. It also says that it's our daily bread. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so that's why Scripture ought to be sort of a daily thing for us. You know, we talked about in a previous program that only 9% of Christians are reading their Bibles every day. Well, can you imagine if you only ate one time a week, what your body would be like? I don't know about you, but my body screams for food, you know, when I'm not eating, and it tells me, hey, you better feed us right now. Well, guess what? Our spirit needs to have that same kind of hunger, that same kind of thirst for the Word of God. We need to get to the point where we are sensitive and dependent upon the Word of God. And just like going to the fridge to get a glass of milk or orange juice or whatever, we need to go to the Word of God sometimes just to get a snack. I mean, sometimes we just need to get a little something to get us over the hump of this part of our day. But we also need that substantive, those substantive meals that God has already prepared for us in the Word. That's why we need those, because it feeds who we are in our souls. Scripture also says that the Bible is our light. Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Now, several years ago, I was over in London. I used to take many trips over to London. We'd take students over there. We'd go into schools and talk about how Christianity was relevant. They'd never heard of a Christian over there, so they didn't know what a Christian teenager was. So we went and told them and showed them what the Bible said. Well, while I was over there on one of my trips, I went into this place called the British Museum. And there are all these ancient antiquities from thousands of years ago. I mean, you see biblical gates from Babylon that are there, and the Rosetta Stone is there, and all these great things from the Empire of Rome. But right across the street from this British Museum was a curio shop, a little expensive shop. You had to ring a buzzer to get into it. And I went in, I was looking around, and I found this little clay lamp that was dated from about 300 A.D. And it was the same exact kind of lamp that David would have used when the psalmist wrote this passage, Psalm 103. And the thing about these lamps, they're not like these searchlights that we have today where you can see like for half a mile. These lamps only provided enough light for just a few feet ahead of you. In other words, you couldn't use it to say, hey, what's down the road? You just used it to see what's right in front of me. And sometimes the Bible is just like that. God's not going to give you the whole script of the rest of your life. He's not going to give you the rest of His will for you mapped out every day. Sometimes He just says, hey, Jeff, take this next step. Because I can't see what's out there in the future. I just have to say, Lord, what am I supposed to do today? And that's another reason why I think it's so important that you and I go to the Word each day, because when we go to the Word, we get light for that day. It's not light for yesterday or maybe even for tomorrow. It's just for today. And so that's why I say that God's Word is so relevant, it's so up to date, it's so needed in our lives. The Scripture is our light. And then also in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says that the Bible is like a sword. It says that it is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And what's amazing about that is that when Scripture comes into our lives, when we read the Scripture, we're not just reading the Scripture, it's reading us, right? And it says it's a two-edged sword. That means it's sharp on both sides. Now, sometimes when you get into the Scripture, and this is all about learning how to be a discerning Christian, when you get into the Scripture, sometimes it cuts and it hurts. You know, I read verses and I find myself being convicted by those verses, because He's reading my mail. He's x-raying my heart, right? So sometimes it cuts to hurt, but other times it cuts to heal. And it brings really healing and not the surgery there. After the surgery always comes the healing, right? And so God's Word goes both ways. It both comforts and it cuts. But it's also the sword that we use. Ephesians 6 tells us it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So when you think about the armor of God and walking in the world that you and I are living in to try to protect ourselves, the Bible says the only offensive weapon in that whole armor there is the sword, the Word of God. So that's why we have to have the Word on our mind, meditate on the Word, because as we do battle with the world, we do battle with our own self and temptation and we do battle with Satan and his enemies, or his forces rather, our enemies, then guess what? This is the only thing we've got is the Word of God. And think about what Jesus did in Luke chapter 4. Jesus Christ, when Satan came to him and offered him bread because he had been not eating for 40 days, he quoted Scripture. When Satan said to cast himself down from the pinnacle of the temple, Jesus quoted Scripture. When Satan offered him all of the kingdoms of the world, which were rightfully his to give because he's the God of this world, what did Jesus do? He quoted Scripture. Now, in order to quote Scripture, Jesus had to know Scripture. And we know as the unique God-man in Luke chapter 2, verse 52, we know that Jesus actually learned. There's a mystery there about how Jesus grew up as a young boy, and it says he grew in wisdom. In other words, he wasn't born with it, he grew with it as the God-man because he studied the Scriptures and he listened to his parents. And so he grew in wisdom. And as we grow in the same kind of wisdom, then we can answer those temptations as well. But it's not just knowing the Scripture, and it's not just quoting the Scripture. That's very important, but watch this. Jesus obeyed the Scripture that he was quoting. So it wasn't the idea that just it was some sort of magical incantation that Christ just said, you know, simsalabim, and hey, Satan, go away. No, it wasn't like that at all. He quoted the Scripture, but in his heart, he was obeying that Scripture. You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. And that's what Jesus was doing. And so the Bible says that Satan left him until another opportune time. So in other words, in order to keep Satan at bay and keep temptation at bay, James tells us to resist the devil and he will flee from you. And one of the ways that you and I can resist the devil is knowing what God says about the situation that you and I are in right now. That specific temptation, or maybe it's not a temptation for something evil per se, it's a temptation to slide. It's a temptation to be depressed or to be anxious or to be fearful. And we quote Scripture. We go to Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything. If you do this, you'll experience God's wonderful peace, which is far more incredible than the human mind could understand. So knowing the Scripture, quoting the Scripture, and then believing the Scripture, acting upon it. And so the Bible is like our sword. It also, as I said earlier, it x-rays our hearts so that we can understand what's really going on the inside. I had the privilege several years ago to write this autobiography of the man who invented the MRI machine. So if you've ever had an MRI, you have Dr. Raymond Demedian to thank. And through doing my research with Dr. Demedian, And this is the smartest man I've ever been around in my entire life. He's like an Albert Einstein kind of guy. But he was sharing with me how the MRI can see things that x-rays can't see. It sees things that CAT scans can't see. It x-rays all the way down into the bone itself. And it can detect things that nothing else can find. And I discover that the Bible sort of works like an MRI machine on our souls. And it, like I said earlier, it reads us. It helps us understand who we really are. You know, that's part of the discovery of the Christian life is that as we interact with the Bible, like I said, we read it, it reads us, and we can understand who we are and how we're made. Not just how we're physically made, but how God put together our personality. We discover how we're bent a certain way, bent in a good way, rather, and how we're made and hardwired for certain tasks and certain things. It's how you know that you're doing what God wants you to do, is because God has revealed to you who you are. I get people ask me all the time, how do I know that I'm called into ministry? You know, do I have the personality for it? Well, it's not really so much about your personality as it is about your calling and how God's going to marry your calling with your personality. And so God helps us understand ourselves through the incredible Word of God. John 17, verse 17 is another great verse here as we begin to wrap things up here. John 17, 17, Jesus is in his high priestly prayer and he's praying to the Father for you and me. And this is what he says. He says, Father, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Now, I know that word sanctify is a real, you know, religious term, so let's break it down. To be sanctified just simply means to be set apart for a special purpose. In other words, God has a special purpose for your life that He doesn't have for anybody else. He gave you that thumbprint that nobody else has. He gave you that palm print that nobody else has. He gave you that specific DNA that nobody precisely has that you do. That's physically, but spiritually speaking too. And He wants to set you apart for a very special purpose in this life. How does that happen? Well, it says in the truth. It has to be in the truth. So as we interact with God's Word and the truth, it makes us more holy. It makes us more capable. It makes us understand who we are and how we are to live in this world. Hey, listen, we're all going to be gone here in a few years, you know, some sooner than later. But watch this. Don't you want to make your life count? Don't you want your life to count for the greatest purpose in the whole world, which is the name of Jesus Christ? And as we interact with the Bible, it does that for us. Let me give you one more verse. It says in Psalm 119, verse 89, that the Word of God abides forever. You see, that's what I love about the Bible. It's not a history book per se. It's not a book just to go and get some life lessons. It is a book that is meant to last forever. And that's why these eternal truths come into us and we understand all that we need to know for life and for godliness. And by the way, it's the only book that God ever wrote. And my friend, He wrote it for you. He wrote it so you could understand it, so you could know Him, so you could live the kind of life you were meant to live. That's all a part of what discernment does for us. We'll pick it up next time on The King is Coming. Don't miss the next program.
In his final finished work, Dr. Ed Heinzen served as general editor for this brand new, high-quality Bible, the New King James Version Evangelical Study Bible. This Bible focuses on evangelism, and it contains notes and other supplemental materials written by theology scholars from Liberty University, as well as articles, background notes, word studies, biographies of biblical figures, full-color maps, charts, family trees, and so much more. For your gift to World Prophetic Ministry today, you will receive a copy of this incredible Bible. Your confidence and ability to share your faith with others will grow as you build solid, biblical understanding of Christ and His love for you. Don't miss this opportunity. Get your copy today.
The Bible records over 100 miracles, many of which have become well known through the ages. In our exciting series, Forgotten Miracles of the Bible, Dr. Heinzen examines 5 amazing miracles from the Book of 2 Kings, some which many have never heard of. Stories of the miraculous, stories of the unusual, and stories of God intervening in human life. This series will be an excellent reminder that God can do miracles. Yours may be just around the corner. For your gift of only $45 or more to World Prophetic Ministry, you will receive a copy of this 5-part DVD series, Forgotten Miracles of the Bible. Call the number on your screen or go to thekingiscoming.com today. World Prophetic Ministries is recognized as a church and religious organization by the Internal Revenue Service, and thus all donations to World Prophetic Ministries are recognized as charitable contributions under the IRS code.